Well, we've been looking in our series called Grit at what makes some people more successful. Why are some people higher achievers than other people? And what are the components of that? And how do we get to that place where we maximize our potential, where we become all that God wired us and designed us to be? And it's an important question about finding success and being all we can be, because it has big time implications for the key areas that mean the most to us. It has big time implications for our careers and our jobs, for our relationships, and even for our spiritual growth. That these are areas that mean a lot to us, and so we want to have careers that are impactful, where we use our gifts, where we make a difference in people's lives. We want to have relationships. If we're married, we want to have a relationship that is solid and growing. We want to have good connections with friends and other people. And as a Christ follower, when we receive the Holy Spirit in our lives, God gives us this desire, this drive to grow, that we want to grow. We want to know Him better. We want to have better understanding of Scripture, and we want to have a better sensitivity to the Spirit's working in and through our lives. And so these are big, important areas for us. We want to grow. But there are a lot of things that can get in the way that can actually block our potential. And I want to look at one of those things, one of those obstacles today to us reaching our potential. And it has to do with how we perceive ourselves and our own giftedness. You see, God wired every one of us on purpose for a purpose. And He's given us different gifts. We all receive gifts from God at our birth. We're wired with certain capacities, abilities at birth. And then we're also receiving different talents and gifts, sometimes building on those natural abilities after we cross the line of faith. The Bible talks about how we receive spiritual gifts. So we have natural gifts and we have spiritual gifts. We see this kind of play out in different ways. We see it, first of all, in Adam, the first person God created, Adam and Eve. We see that God gave them abilities and talents and capacity to fulfill God's purpose for them, which was to manage and tend the Garden of Eden, the place of delight. So they needed to have the ability to handle agriculture, to deal with animals, to make decisions that would impact the ecosystem of the time. It was the capacity to analyze situations and to come out on the other side making smart decisions. We see that in their lives. We see that throughout Scripture. We also see that this mix of God-given abilities and supernatural abilities unfold throughout Scripture. And I want to look at one particular place where we see that, an interesting passage that talks about God's gifting in your life and in mine, and it's found in Exodus chapter 31. And here, it's describing the building and the maintenance of what is called the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. And it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I've appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I've given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I've commanded you, the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings.'" Here is a picture of kind of this intermixing of God-given abilities and supernatural abilities that often build on those God-given abilities that enabled these particular people, craftsmen, to accomplish God's work. In this case, it was working with wood and metal, and there was sewing of garments and other such things to create an excellent space for God to meet with His people. This work was top-notch. It was done by highly skilled workers, and that great skill had its origins in God. God enabled that to happen. Verse 3 says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God with skill, ability, and knowledge. Later on it says, also I've given them skill and craftsmen to all the craftsmen for one very specific purpose, to make everything that I've commanded you. So in other words, there is this interchange, and sometimes it's hard to separate out the two, that we have natural abilities you're born with, and we have supernatural abilities, spiritual talents that often build on those natural talents. Here, we don't know if these craftsmen couldn't do a thing in terms of craftsmanship prior to this, the Spirit giving them this ability, or if it built on it, but we do know one thing, that God gives us gifts and abilities. And I think it says to us something very important, that God has given you the raw material to become a high achiever. God has given you everything you need in this life to be successful, to be a high achiever, to accomplish something significant with your life. But what is so perplexing about it, all this, is that although we have this raw material, so often we see it in our world that people who have ability, who have capacity, who have capability, they seem to fall short of their potential. They don't actually get to the point where they're maximizing the power implicit within them to accomplish what God has designed. They have all this capacity, but they don't max out that capacity. Their talents never reach the pinnacle of what they could be. Harvard psychologist William James says this, compared to what we ought to be, we are only half awake. Our fires are damped, our drafts are checked. We are making use of only a small part of our possible mental and physical resources. There seems to be a gap between who we are and what we could be. There seems to be this gap between what our potential tells us what could be and what we actually are. And I think this happens because things get in the way and block that potential. And in particular, there's one thought that can come to our mind that I want to talk about today that will absolutely impede your ability to max out your gifts and to become all you can be. It's this particular focus of how we measure ourselves up to people we would call the naturals. We play this comparison game with people that we would call the naturals in this world. These are people who basically have all this ability and talent seemingly built into them at birth that seems to make them far superior to other more mortal type people like us. There are people who have these gifts and abilities like just built into them, and we look at them and say they are just naturally gifted, they're naturally talented, they're naturally capable, and therefore they're going to be successful. But as for me, I'm not so sure because I don't measure up. They have what you could call the it factor. They have it. Whatever it is, they've got it, and I don't have it, and therefore, sometimes we can get tripped up. In fact, it's interesting to look at surveys, and researchers have done surveys over the years, and they ask people, what is more important, talent or effort? And you know what the surveys say over and over again? They say effort. Effort is more important, but that's what they say. Researchers also find that we say that, but we love the naturals. We love the people with this inborn talent. We love to think of the prodigy. We love the idea that a star is born. I mean, you think about it, you know, we love those with these unusual abilities, the naturals, those who can play piano at 5 years old. We're like, man, they can play piano at 5 years old. They can write complex computer code at 10. They can play advanced professional guitar riffs at 12. They graduate from college at 16. They got a 48-inch vertical jump and basically score 70 points in a high school basketball game, and they're 18 years old. And we just love the prodigy. We love the natural. We think about it. We stand in awe of them. ESPN recently ran some articles about future superstars. And guess what grade they were in? They were middle school. They're in middle school. And like, these are the kids that are going to be the stars of the future. We love to talk about it and think about those who just have these unusual abilities. I've had some friends over the years who I would consider in the natural realm. I remember in college, I went to Messiah College, and I was in a psychology class, and I was in there with a friend, and he went to the classes, and he read the books, and he did the projects, but when it came to the tests, he just never studied. Everybody else I knew, they were smart, but they studied. And everybody was studying, but this guy didn't study, and he aced the test every single time. He was like a walking sponge. Like, he could just, like, absorb this stuff, and he was great. He was just a natural learner, ridiculously smart guy. When I went to graduate school, I had a friend who was in my Greek class, and Greek is a challenging course. It's a challenging class to take, and we're in there, and 2 weeks in, he says to me, he says, Glenn, he goes, you know, the pace of this class is too slow. And I'm thinking, everybody else in the class is like, seriously, you think the pace is too slow in this class? He goes, yeah, it's too slow. He goes, I'm going to work ahead. I'm like, man, you go for it, dude. You go for it. So 3 weeks later, he told me that he was 8 chapters ahead of everybody else in the class. And he was up there. He knew as much or more than the professor. The guy was a natural at language. He was brilliant linguistically. He could pick it up like no one else. Maybe you've known somebody like that too. Just somebody with this unbelievable natural talent that they seem to be born with, this that makes them like superior to other people, superior to mere mortals like me and like us, who kind of look at that and say, well, I have interest in music, but maybe I'll never be like so-and-so. I have interest in computers, but I don't understand. I'm like so-and-so. I have interest in communication or leadership, but I can't do it like that. I'm pretty good at putting the ball through the hoop, but I can't quite do it like them. And then all of a sudden, we make this big jump. That because we say, I can't do it like them, we make the jump then to say this, that because I can't do it like them, I will never be able to succeed like them. And then we put ourselves in the box. We set these limits. And we begin to compare ourselves negatively. We view ourselves through a negative lens. We develop a self-sabotaging attitude that says, I'll never be able to measure up to so-and-so. And that can easily begin to discourage us and deflate us. Sometimes we want to give up trying. We become our own worst enemy with our focus on the naturals. We stop trying. We stop growing. We set our own limits, and we never reach our potential. But you don't have to live very long to realize that talent is no guarantee of success. Talent is not a guarantee of success. The naturals actually don't always rise to the top of their field. In fact, often they don't. They don't always reach the pinnacle of their ability. And it's interesting too, if you look back on your life, to see that some of those people who were overlooked, who didn't seem to be the most talented, who weren't voted most likely to succeed, those people that weren't seen as with this high achieving capacity, they didn't get the scholarship You know, they weren't in a situation where they were in the gifted class as a child, that somehow the laggers catch up. In fact, some of the people who are most under the radar eventually become the builders, the leaders, the people who are the movers and shakers, the biggest contributors who excel in their field. I think it says to us that we have to be careful not to be distracted by other people's talent. Work to develop your own talent. Don't be distracted by what other people do. Work to build your own talent. See, if you decide that you don't have the right stuff, I don't have the right stuff. I'm just not capable. I just can't do it. You're just in that negative framework. That will be a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you say you can't do it, I don't have the right stuff, guess what? You won't do it. You won't reach your potential. But it's not because it's not there. It's because you've put a lid on your life. So we have to look at this and say, I'm not going to get distracted by other people's talent. In fact, the most important thing for us, first of all, is to step back and say, God, if you've given me natural abilities, if I've crossed the line of faith, if I know you personally, I have these spiritual gifts, what are those gifts? Help me to identify what I can do. Help me to identify what I can do. See, there's two extremes to this sometimes. There's some people who say that, you know, if you just dream it, you can be anything you want to be. Just dream it. You can be anything you want to be. And guess what? That's just a wonderful platitude, flat out false. Sorry, it's just not true. I mean, I could dream all day about being an astronaut. But when I was growing up and my mom and dad had our 1973 Chevy Impala station wagon, white. It was white with a red interior, and it was like a tank. If I ran into a pole, a light pole, the pole would fall over. I mean, this thing was like an absolute tank. And I spent many hours in the car without the seatbelt on, of course, because back then you just threw the kids in the back, and that's where I was. But I remember many hours in this car feeling pretty queasy. Feeling pretty queasy, like seriously car sick, even as an adult. So yes, I could dream of being an astronaut, but I'd be throwing up so many times going out off into the space realm. I couldn't do it. I'm not wired for it. I don't have the constitution for it. So dream, fine, but let's find something I can do. So sometimes we think, well, I'll just dream it and you can do it. No, how about find your gifts and passions? But then we swing the other side sometimes and say, I can't do anything. I'm not good at anything. I'm not able to do anything. And that's not true either. I think we have to get back to Scripture and identify our gifts, both natural and supernatural gifts. Romans 12 describes this. It says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gifts or a woman's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's in contributing to the needs of others, let her give generously. If it's leadership, let him, let her govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Here Paul is laying out this mix of spiritual gifts, but often again, they align with how we're wired. Sometimes they're distinct, sometimes they're not. But the bottom line is we're all different. We're all gifted. So here we have some gifts of prophecy. A prophecy is one of the most misunderstood gifts in Scripture. It's, you know, we think a lot about prediction. It's not really much about prediction at all. It's primarily proclamation. That's what prophecy is in Scripture. And so my role in the church is a prophetic role because as someone who preaches and communicates God's word, I'm proclaiming something in Scripture. That's an important role in God's world. There's also that of serving, of teaching, of encouraging. There's the gift of giving. All these gifts, none are more important. They're all important. And each gift comes with a different type of analytical capacity, mental capacity. So a leader has to analyze people situations and group dynamics and make decisions and have the ability to see ahead and to work towards that even when it's hard. So there's different mental and analytical capacities for each of these roles. An encourager has to understand people. Have to actually have people skills, to put yourself in other people's shoes and to listen and not just read into people's responses, to work towards understanding those kinds of things. Those are important gifts, vital gifts. There's also the emotional capacities and the attitudes that we bring into it. The bottom line is we have to identify what we're good at, what we're passionate about, what we love to do, and what we're dreaming about that aligns with our gifting and our wiring. God has given us the raw material for success in our careers. He's given us the raw material for success in our relationships and our marriages. He's given us the raw material we need for success in our faith, that we can grow, we can be different than we were in the past. But when we focus on others, we get derailed by other people's talents, abilities, and their own capacities. And we say, I may be a craftsman, but I'm not as good in so-and-so. I noticed that in shop class. I just maybe won't do it. You know, I'm not going to work at teaching because someone else teaches differently or better than me. Or I'm not going to work at encouraging because I don't read situations quite as well. I don't exude the encouragement that maybe someone who's more outgoing does. And this thinking can undermine us, discourage us, make us jealous, take our focus off our own gifts. We waste our energy envying, and we don't realize that we've put a lid on our own life. Verse 3 says, not only should we identify our gifts, but it says, let him, let her use it. So identify the gifts, but then take action steps to utilize that gift. Get out there, experiment, try, work at it. Put talent into practice. Unleash the potential within you that God has put in you. It's in there, but sometimes it's untapped because of our own fears, because we're distracted by other people. Ultimately, it's going to take work and effort. It's going to take grit to become everything God intends you and wired you to be. See, success is not about genius. It's not about genius. It's about effort over time. This is the biggest key. In fact, next week we're going to talk about this. Don't miss next week because we're kind of building up to something huge next week. But here's the thing, that it's not about genius. We got to let go of the cult of genius. We got to let go of this idea of the naturals. We got to let go of this idea that somebody just has superior gifts and I don't, therefore I'm just going to always be in their shadow. No. It's about effort over time to become all that we're designed to be. Grit over time to grow, to get better at something. I want to give you an example this morning of someone who was absolutely positively not seen as the natural. This person had hardly any talent, hardly any capacity. Didn't seem to have a very bright future at all. I think it's probably someone you know. Got a picture of him here. Anybody know who that is? If you're a sports fan, you do. If you're an NFL fan, you probably know all the stats. Tom Brady, who has really turned out to be arguably the greatest quarterback in NFL history. He's a man who has won 6 Super Bowl championships. He's got 6 rings. He needs an extra hand to put the rings on. He's been selected to the Pro Bowl 14 times. He has 3 MVP awards. He is likely, arguably, the greatest quarterback of all time. Well, recently, Tom Brady posted something on his new Instagram account. It's a picture, his draft picture from 2000. Here's Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time. He's not looking the part. In fact, no one thought he looked the part. He was a skinny dude, and everyone looked at him and basically passed on him on the draft. He was drafted 199th in the 2000 NFL draft. He talked about how he and his father were waiting for his name to be called on draft day. They were waiting, and they thought that maybe he'd get called in the second round. He wasn't a first rounder, like the top flight, like these dudes are amazing. He wasn't there, but he was just below amazing, he thought. He was at the second or third round. Well, he didn't get picked in the first, and he expected that. He didn't get picked in the second, and that was starting to get him worked up. He didn't get picked in the third round, and he's really worried. Didn't get picked in the fourth round or fifth round, and pick after pick after pick were chosen. No one wanted Tom Brady. He just didn't have it. He didn't have it. He didn't have the right stuff. He wasn't athletic enough. His arm strength, it was better than that, but you know, I mean, like, I got arm strength. I'm not going to pick this guy with a floppy arm. I mean, he wasn't fast enough. He didn't have a track record of success. He just wasn't the guy that we wanted to invest in. And so pick after pick went on, and all, six quarterbacks were chosen in front of him. Six way better, more athletic quarterbacks. People like, maybe you've heard of Giovanni Carmazzi. Have you heard of him? How about T. Martin? Like guys like that, way more talented, way more capable. Those are the guys that are going to make it. Not this floppy arm, skinny guy, Tom Brady. New England took a chance on him at 199, and they didn't know it at the time, but it was the greatest pick in NFL draft history. Tom Brady was the hidden gem of the draft. And so, if you were Tom Brady, what would you do? No one believes in you. Nobody thinks you can do it. Everybody's passing you by. I'm taking Giovanni, not you. What would you do? Would you say, listen, I don't have it. I'm not the natural. I'm just not going to be able to pull this off. You know, maybe I should go just to recognize that I'm just not fast enough or capable enough, strong enough. I don't have what is needed. You could focus on the naturals, but he didn't. Instead, he went to work. He believed he had some talent. He believed he had ability. He had a passion. He didn't put a lid on his own life. He got to work. And so the question is, what if we did that? What if we stopped saying, wow, other people don't believe in me. Maybe I don't even believe in myself a little bit here or there, but instead of focusing on others, we just got to work. You see, success comes when preparation meets opportunity. That's when success comes. When preparation, work, grit, determination meet opportunity. God has given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness to be all that we can be. The question is, what are we doing with that raw material? Are we focused on the wrong things? We have to step away from this comparison to other people. We have to reject the cult of genius. We have to stop getting distracted by other people's talent. We need to harness our own abilities and giftings. Focus on yourself. Get to work and watch what God does in and through your life. But I want to say one last thing about this hard work, the hard work we need to succeed. There's a reason and purpose for it. The gritty use of our gifts always has a goal. It's sowing positive seeds of faith and making someone's day or life better. You see, this is what motivates us to be everything we can be. It's why God has gifted us. It's why we don't need to compare, because it's not our goal to measure up. Our goal is to honor God, That's what the goal is. Our goal is to make a difference in this world, not to become something that we can idolize in ourselves. No, to impact others. 1 Corinthians 12 describes this. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men and women. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. For what purpose? Why does God give you His Spirit? Why does God give you gifts? Why does God give you your passions? Why does God enable you to dream your dreams? There's a reason for it. God has given you all these things, this natural ability, this implicit power and capability. He's given it to you so you can use it, not for your fame or yourself or building yourself up, but for the common good, to make a difference in this world. This is why God has wired you. This really begins with the local church. That part of this is to say, I want to make a difference in the lives of people within the church. That's the context of what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. That we love each other by serving each other, by using our gifts to make another person's day, another brother or sister's day better. To help make a brother or sister's life a little bit better. So that's part of our role. But Paul even broadens that out even further. In Ephesians 2:10, he says, "For we are God's workmanship." So God has created you, designed you for a purpose, on purpose, wired you. No accident that you think the way you think, you have this capacity, you have a passion, you have the certain attitudes. God has given you this raw material, and it's awesome. You're His workmanship. And you're created in Christ Jesus for a purpose, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. So I think all of this says that when we think about this whole idea of success and becoming a high achiever, one of the key contexts for our life is our work. Your work, I want to just say this, and I didn't make this a bullet, but it really should have been. It's this, that your work is a ministry. Your work, positively, 100%, is a ministry. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be on stage. You don't have to be on a staff somewhere or do a nonprofit thing. That's fantastic if God calls you to that. But your work, exactly where you are right now, is a ministry. And so if you're an artist, be the best artist you can possibly be. If you're a sculptor or you paint type paint, pay attention to the details. Work at your craft. Develop advanced techniques. If you're an artist, you think creatively. Use your creativity to honor God, to develop something that's excellent. That's excellent to point to the excellence of the God you love and serve. You know, if you're a accountant or an architect or an analyst, a bookkeeper or a builder, go at your craft and work at it. Get training. Take notes when you hear solid content. Develop yourself. Read. Get with people in your field. Learn and grow to become everything you God wants you to be. It's Mother's Day. Think about parenting. Think about being a mother. How do I get better at this? We can grow in our ability to relate to our kids and raise our families. There are principles in Scripture that help us become more effective in all our relationships. So moms can get better. Dads can get better. Grandparents can get better. These are all there if we're determined not to look at other people, but to say, I want to work at this. This matters. I'm investing in this. Go into your job, your life, your relationships with a new attitude, a better attitude. Be gritty to grow. Be gritty because you have a goal to honor and please God. And so today, I just want to encourage you to stop focusing on the naturals. These people that are just born with these talents and they're going to be successful, and I'm not so sure if I'm going to be. That idea, that's an illusion, because all success requires the same thing. All success requires grit. All success requires persevering under pressure. And so I want to encourage you to stop saying, I'll never be like so-and-so in my career. I'll never have a marriage or a relationship like so-and-so. I'll never know God or understand Scripture or have the spiritual sensitivity of so-and-so. We need to stop this comparison, sabotaging ourselves. No, we can develop ourselves, but it's going to take grit, focus, determination, and a view of things that sees our giftedness in the right way. And it really is amazing how God uses the under-the-radar person to make a huge impact in this world simply because they have grit. Let's be gritty. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that you are working in each of our lives, that you have made us beautiful, you've made us special, you've made us unique, you've equipped us fully to be everything you want us to be. We have the raw material to be a high achiever, a high impact person. Lord, we just pray that you'll show us exactly how to channel our energies, how to not put a lid on our life, but to look to you and let you lead us to a productive career, better relationships, and a growing faith. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we commit all this to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.